Just another night indeed. 12:36, Phil Menicky being joined by author and national speaker for the National Alliance for Mental Illness. His name is Bob Krulish. Bob, thank you for joining us here on WGN. How are you?
I'm doing well, Phil. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
This is a very, very important topic, especially right now with the pandemic. We'll get to that in a little bit. Let's get started with a little conversation about you. You have bipolar disorder. Talk to us about that.
I do. I have bipolar disorder, what they call type 1 bipolar disorder, which is a bit more severe in that the criteria between type 2 and type 1 is basically the big difference is type 2 doesn't necessarily have had to destroy your life entirely, where type 1 has to have significant impairment on your social and your professional and occupational life. And that's how they kind of measure it, just by how much destruction has happened in your life. And so I deal with bipolar type 2. I started to be symptomatic with it when I was about 16 years old. But I'm one of those people that did not get diagnosed until later on in life. I was symptomatic for 35 years, Phil, and I did not get diagnosed until I was 51. So I went most of my life untreated, symptomatic, bipolar.
What was that like?
That was awful. I had these moments where I did great things. I was able to graduate college eventually, with honors. I was able to have a successful career. I was able to raise a family and look like I had everything. And then I had a really bad manic break about 25 years into my marriage and with four children, and lost everything. My wife divorced me for, good reason. I had signed away all my wealth to her because I was so manic. I thought I could just make all that, I could make millions of dollars in just a matter of days. That's how you're manic. And most severely is that I lost custody of my children, and I lost the right to see them without being supervised. And that lasted for 6 years. I ended up sleeping in a cabin, an abandoned cabin out in the woods that happened to be a friend of a friend of a friend's. And I slept on the floor of that cabin for 2 years by myself.
Wow. Now, you mentioned something just in the last couple of sentences that you were manic. Is that the term that you used?
Yeah.
Talk to us about that, if you could.
So with bipolar disorder, you have two poles. You have the depression, which is very similar to major depressive disorder. It's the same symptoms, the same diagnosis. And then you have mania. And, we're likely to be 12 to 15 times more likely to have depression than we will have manic episodes. Or with type 1, I might have as many as 8 depressive episodes before I have a manic episode. It's kind of that combination. But in mania, you really believe that you have an extreme inflated ego. All your goals are grandiose. You have an amazing amount of impulsivity. You have what's called pressured speech, where you can't stop talking. You have flight of ideas. So not only are you talking about something, but you're talking about 12 different things at the same time, and you never tie them together. And you can have some extreme risky behaviors as well. And to be manic, you have to have a combination of some of those. You have to have about two or three of those going on at the same time for a period of time, and it just wreaks havoc with a person. Their view of the world is so different. I think I'm superior to everybody on the planet. I wonder why other people are so, you know, stupid, if I could put it that way.
Or sure.
Why don't people see the vision that I have in life about all these creative ideas and jobs or companies I want to create? And you lose all your friends in that kind of arrogance and that kind of ego. So you end up being very alone, isolated, and very agitated with bipolar. You have to be very, very careful, because 50% or more are likely to have made at least one attempt on their life, and about 15 to 20% of the people with bipolar disorder will die by suicide. So it's a very extreme feeling, that mania. You get really in trouble when you have a mixed episode where you're manic and depressed at the same time. And so it's something that really needs to be taken care of. I really luckily survived being untreated. Although I had made a couple of attempts on my life, I managed to escape those attempts, and I'm lucky to be here. Really, being untreated bipolar is a very, very serious thing.
We're talking with Bob Krulish. He is a sought-after national speaker for NAMI, the National Alliance of Mental Illness, which, by the way, is the largest, it's like grassroots organization, right?
It's the largest for the mental illness kind of grassroots organization in the country, and it's staffed by volunteers all around the country. There's affiliate organizations in most cities, if not one, but many. In my area, there's probably five affiliates. I serve on the board of one of the affiliates as their treasurer. It's just a great organization for people to come and get help that are struggling with a mental health condition, or they have a loved one who is struggling with a mental health condition.
How did you know, at what point, was there a specific episode or situation where you knew that you needed to get help? Tell us about that, if you could, please.
Yeah, the insidious part about bipolar is that you really have to show that you're manic in order to be diagnosed. Normally, we go see the doctor when we're depressed, and the doctor may mistakenly think we have depression, not bipolar, because we're not exhibiting the mania. When we have the mania, we would never go see a doctor, because I'm so much smarter than the doctor, and I feel wonderful. I feel great.
Right.
So
right.
The doctor doesn't see us in that mania. So we're often misdiagnosed for quite a long time. I'm sorry, I lost track for a second there, but you were saying that in the mania, I could lose track of my own condition, really.
Right.
I can lose track of the fact that I'm ill. So I don't go see a doctor. We don't go see a doctor. We stay very untreated, misdiagnosed often. Often it takes five or six doctors before we actually get diagnosed properly, and we're symptomatic for 7 or 8 years because we just don't go showing up at the door of a doctor. So what happened to me was my wife, 25 years, kicked me out. I lost the kids and lost everything, and I went to go see a therapist about my divorce. And she, after spending like a couple of months with me, said, "Oh my gosh, you know, you might have bipolar disorder." And I told her, I said, "You're the crazy one, because here I am in mania." But really, it was because of a bet I made with her that I went to go see a psychiatrist. And that psychiatrist really laid it out for me pretty hard when I did meet with him.
Wow. And this goes undiagnosed, as you mentioned, for so many, for so long. You had 60 medication changes, more than 700 hours of therapy, 12 years, and it was finally figured out, right?
Well, it was figured out, and then I went through all those med changes and all that therapy. Prior to that, I was going through multiple med changes to treat what they just thought was depression. Now, the other insidious part about bipolar disorder is that if you are not aware that you have bipolar disorder and you take an antidepressant alone without a mood stabilizer, that actually puts you in mania.
Oh.
So And then I loved being in mania, so I never went back to the doctor. I just kept getting the antidepressant renewed, and I lasted in a manic episode for 3 years, and that's really where I lost my family and lost everything.
So it's a vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cycle, and it's something that has to be done that would very carefully. Then there's a whole other world of people who have this other problem called anosognosia, which is where they lack the ability. Their brain can see that they're sick, but it doesn't register in the brain that they are sick.
Let's take a quick break here, Bob. We'll talk about that more. We're talking with Bob Krulish, national speaker for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Bob's got a book out we'll talk about next. That and more here on 720 WGN.
Rusted chains of prison moons are shattered by the sun. I walk a road, horizons change, the tournament's begun. The purple piper plays his tune, the choir softly sing. Three lullabies in an ancient tongue for the court of the crimson.
Phil Menicky back with Bob Krulish on WGN. Bob is a national speaker for NAMI, N-A-M-I, the National Alliance for Mental Illness. And we're talking about anosognosia. Bob, tell us about that, please.
Yeah, anosognosia, Phil, is a condition that gets triggered with the illness. So some people actually cannot know that they are sick with their illness. It has to do with a deficit in the brain. Some researchers talk about white matter, not enough white matter in a particular part of the brain. And basically the way I describe it is you can see your life, but it doesn't register that you're sick. It's kind of like when we used to use film and a camera. Not that we do that much anymore, but it would be like taking the picture but never getting it developed. So the brain can't recognize that you're sick. And that is really, and interestingly, that happens with more than 50% of the people with schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. It's about 8 million people in this country that can never know they're sick.
Wow.
And so I deal with that in my coaching practice. I coach parents who have an ill loved one like that. How do you talk to, they come to me and they go, how do I talk to my son or daughter who can never know that he's got schizophrenia? How do I get him to take medication for it? And so I have a whole program on how we actually accomplish that goal.
Got it. Let's talk about your book, When Screams Become Whispers, One Man's Inspiring Victory Over Bipolar Disorder. Came out in June. What made you write the book? Why did you write it?
Well, when I joined NAMI and I started volunteering for them as a speaker, and I've given like 100 or more speeches for them now, I would always get somebody coming up to me and saying, you know, you ought to tell your story in a book. So after a while, I got, I was pretty sure that it gave people hope. And that was really the key thing, is to show people that you can live with this, you can get over this, you can survive this and you can thrive with it. For me, it was about treatment with medication and therapy. Others might find another way to treat it. But my core message for people with the book, and the reason I wrote it, was to give them hope.
It just came out in June. Where can we find the book?
Well, it's on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. It's in most major bookstores in the country and anywhere else you might find books sold.
Got it. We're talking with Bob Krulish. He's the national speaker for the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Very much in the news with the pandemic. How do we deal with it, with this whole situation? And I'm thinking a lot of people are going through this. What's the answer? How do we take care of this?
Yeah, the big thing that worries me the most is the stress that comes from uncertainty, and the anxiety that comes from uncertainty. And so I would recommend to my friends and anybody listening, if they wanted to really take better care of themselves, is to not go on the news fast, but just take it lightly. Take it in lightly. There's a lot of news. There's a lot of uncertainty about the Delta variant right now, things like that. So take it in slowly and do something that really helps you keep your mind off of things that are stressful. Like for me, it's practicing golf every day. For other people, it might be a mindfulness practice that includes meditation or yoga or some other form of therapy, like going for a walk. But find something that gives you at least a half an hour, an hour of an outlet to give your brain a little bit of a rest.
That's great advice. Bob Krulisch, national speaker for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Any parting words as we wrap things up? Anything to really take with you as you kind of look around and basically just evaluate the situation as far as mental illness is concerned?
Yeah, the thing I would recommend that all of us try to be a little bit more literate about what symptoms are, what the symptoms are with mental illness. I have that listed on my website at bobkrulisch.com. You can go Google symptoms about mental illness or mental health conditions and be aware, just so that you can help a friend out if you see something like if they're really struggling with depression, for example. You might want to be aware of the fact that if they've lost pleasure in things they used to find pleasurable, that's a pretty strong sign that they might be struggling with depression. And the more that we can know the big warning signs, the more I think we can help one another out.
Sounds great. Great advice. Thank you, sir. Bob Krulisch, national speaker for the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Thank you for sharing your story with us. Again, the book is When Screams Become Whispers, One Man's Inspiring Victory Over Bipolar Disorder. Bob, all the best to you.
Thank you. Same to you, Phil. Thank you so much.